You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
Why could Paul be such a lion of the faith and face all kinds of danger and even go to Jerusalem knowing that it would cost him his very life? It was because the love of Christ motivated him. He knew that he was secure in the beloved, and that whatever God allowed, it was because he loved him, not because he was against him. Even to death, the Lord knows best.
Paul faced trials and persecution, but was still able to walk boldly with unwavering faith. What gave him that courage wasn't his own strength, but the love of Christ working through him. Pastor Gary teaches you today that when you truly understand Christ's love, fear begins to lose its grip on you. Paul trusted that whatever God allowed in his life was an expression of his love, not his rejection. Even in the face of death, he believed that the Lord's plan was good, and that same assurance is available to you. Now here's Pastor Gary in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 as he continues his message, No Fear.
I'm telling you, there's a Holy Spirit fire burning, and God wants to burn out the dross and cure this church of fear and doubt and worry and anxiety, and just say, sign me up, Lord. I'm all in for the move of God. Fear says you're powerless, but God gives you strength. Fear says you are isolated, but God gives perfect love. Oh, there he goes. Why does he have to be such an oddball? Why can't he just play ball like all the other churches? By the way, I got good friends. They have been some of my greatest sources of strength and encouragement in my lowest hours since God's called me to this assignment. So don't you mistakenly think that when I preach against formality of religion that I'm just throwing shade on all of our other brethren. I know they got their own struggles. I know they fight the same devils I fight. What I'm addressing is not necessarily those men in the pulpit, but the spirit that tries to keep all of us bound to tradition so that God's word can't go forth like it ought to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I love being a part of this community. Listen, God called me to minister. God picked that for me. I respect that. But you know as well as I do, every denomination has traditions that can sometimes get in the way of the word of God. And so we just address those as we go. Can I get an amen? Now, fear says you are isolated, but God gives perfect love. See, he wants you to think that if you really follow God, that you'll be alone. He wants you to think that if you sell out to Jesus, that you won't be able to enjoy a social life. Fear preaches rejection, isolation, abandonment, and shame. Just like he had to tell Timothy, don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Hold your head up high and amen, stick your chest out and be proud of who Jesus is in your life. Hold your head up high. You ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. You said, who has he been talking to this week? He's the only one been talking to the Holy Ghost. You see, going back to the spies, they declared, quote, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight, Numbers 13:33. And this, my friend, was the evil report of insignificance and isolation, getting you to downgrade your own perception of yourself in the kingdom of God. But let me say something to you that you need to remember. Never look at yourself from your own personal point of view, for it is limited, nor of others, for it is limited, but of God's point of view, because these were the people of God. Caleb, these were the people that God delivered out of Egyptian bondage into a promised land, led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. And these are the very people that say, well, we look like grasshoppers to them. I don't guess we'll be able to take them. They're too big for us. Wait a minute. Did you forget who you were? Did you forget who God is? Do we believe God is able or don't we? If we do, then act like it. Can I get an amen? This is God's work. This is God's book. And God's the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm more afraid to miss God than I am to get a hold of him. Amen. I'm more afraid to miss the promised land than I am to fight the giants when I get there. So what if there's giants? God done proved his faithfulness. God done proved his power. God done taught us that we just need to trust him. If we can get all the way up to the brink of the promised land and then just lose our faith, amen, then we ain't even learned a thing in all these years we've been here. We've got to drop our bittering, backbiting, complaining, doubting, fears, and all that mess and get with God and get with his word and say, let's go get him for Jesus, amen. You see, God's love cast out fear. God proved his faithfulness to him. But here's that enemy circling around with fears of rejection, fears of isolation. Well, if you get out there, what if God don't this time? What do you mean, what if God don't this time? God always does. He may not do it the way you want him to. He may not do it in the timing that you prefer, but God always comes out on top. God's house always wins. Come on, somebody. Help me preach now. What does 1 John 4:18 say? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. No wonder Paul said it is the love of Christ that constrains me. It's the love of Christ that pushes me, that motivates me, that drives me. Why could Paul be such a lion of the faith and face all kinds of danger and even go to Jerusalem knowing that it would cost him his very life? It was because the love of Christ motivated him. He knew that he was secure in the beloved and that whatever God allowed, it was because he loved him, not because he was against him. Even to death, the Lord knows best. You see, we start making the mistake, well, if things start going south, if it starts costing us, then we must have missed. No. In fact, you might be right smack dab in the closest will to God that you've ever had been in your life if it starts costing you. Because now you're taking up your cross. Now you're following Jesus. Now you're learning not only of the fellowship of the beloved, but the fellowship of his sufferings. Now you're understanding how to identify with Christ in death so that resurrection power can raise up after you've lost and come out on top anyway. See, God specializes in letting it look like it's just completely hopeless. And then all of a sudden, here I am. I know what they prophesied over this church. I heard what they said when they went out the door. But look at what God's doing. Can I get an amen? This church ain't going down. This church is going up, praise God. And I'd be very careful not to let the enemy talk me out of where God put me, if in fact he has. Romans 8:38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." See, all this stuff is evident in Paul's life. All these warfares, all these damages, all of these conflicts and struggles. But watch what he said, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," in case I miss something, amen, "how be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul knew one thing, that no matter how bad it got, God still loved him. But you know what the devil will do? The devil will tell you, look at this trouble you're in. Maybe God is angry with you. Maybe God has lifted his favor off of you. Maybe you're missing the will of God. In fact, maybe this ain't God at all. Maybe you should just consider your alternatives. Over trouble? I don't care who you are on the face of the planet, you're going to face trouble. Whether you're saved or whether else. Now, sometimes they're just going on. But the Bible says you can go to the sanctuary and watch their end and realize that even if they look like they got it made in the shade, there's coming a day of reckoning. Moses, who could have lived a palace life, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin that are only going to last a little while. Moses said, you know what? I want something more permanent than comfort. I want something more lasting than ease. I don't want to just do something because it's easy. I want to do something because God called me to it. And most of the time, God calls you to hard places. I know it's not easy being my sheep, but can I be candid? It's not always easy being your pastor. We love each other, right? Amen. But understand something. We're going to go through seasons like a family where we're just going to have to figure it out and get through it. But don't abandon ship for lack of comfort or preference. Trust God's process, because God is indeed at work. May not always see it, may not always understand it, may not even always like it. But He's Lord, I'm not. And Paul's like, you know what? I've been shipwrecked, been killed and left for dead, I've been stoned, all this stuff. And he said, but yeah, here I am. And he's like, I'm still convinced God loves me. I'm not blaming my plight on God, because God loves me. This plight is an enemy that wants to isolate me, wants to make me feel powerless, makes me want to feel abandoned, wants to make me confused about who God is and what He's wanting to do in my life. That's not God. That's the enemy. Identify who your enemy is. Identify who God is by the Word of God, not by optics. Am I helping you? Number three, fear causes confusion, but God gives clarity. Fear causes confusion, but God gives clarity. Fear thrives in confusion, clouding truth, and twisting God's word. Back to the spies. The spies spread confusion by, quote, bringing up an evil report of the land, end quote. Numbers 13:32. Y'all remember the story. 12 went in, 2 came out, saying, this is a glorious land. We are able. Let's go get them, boys. And then the other 10, the majority report, we'll call it. That's a good case right there of why a majority ain't always right. Let that sink in a minute. Well, they had the vote. Good, clear majority. What was it? More than 80%. All right, well, must be of God. What? You going to call it of God because you can get 80% of doubting people to agree on it? You see what I'm saying? We got to find the heart of God on it, and we got to side with Scripture. Because God's always right whether we agree with Him or not. So they spread this confusion by bringing up what the Bible called an evil report. Now, let me help you with what that word evil for a minute. Let me give you some of the explanations that help amplify the depth of its meaning when you dig through to the root word, the Hebrew word. It means to whisper. You ever get any whispers in the church? It's an evil report. If it has to be whispered, it's an evil report. The person may not be evil intended, but it's an evil report that they're echoing from an influence that may not even understand is talking through them. It also means defamation, slander, character assassination, negativity, faithless speech about a situation, slanderous report, unfavorable saying. It's basically spoken quietly yet destructively. Essentially, they were slandering God's promise. God took it personal. Whenever they came against Moses in the wilderness, they weren't coming against Moses because Moses was just telling them what God told them to tell them. They were slandering God. And God took offense to it. And the sooner you figure out that when someone speaks up for God, you better not lay your tongue on them, the better off you're going to be. Can I say that one more time? The sooner you can figure out that when someone's speaking up on God's behalf, that you need not lay your tongue on them, the better off you're going to be. Because the Bible says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Now, I understand there's some people that are self-assigned prophets speaking forth lies. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you can read in your Bible, black and white, that what's coming off that person's lips is exactly the heartbeat of God as proven by Holy Writ, then you better keep your tongue off of them and support what God's doing. If not, you'll bring a curse on yourself. You better watch that spirit of rebellion. You better watch it. Because you're not rebelling against man whenever man has represented God accurately. In those instances, you're rebelling against God. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That means you are circumventing God's authority to try to enforce your own. That's what witchcraft is, essentially. It's bypassing God's authority, looking for power through another source besides God. That's why children are admonished to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right, because that's God's order. And when children disobey their parents, they're circumventing God's authority. Now, that's not popular, but it's true as well. Just thought I'd throw that in there for free. Amen. Here's what that evil report does. By twisting reality into fear-driven unbelief, it creates converts of unbelief through confusion. Oh, and fear sells because it feels so real. You know why scammers are so good at scamming people? Because they play on your emotions. I watched a video the other day of a lady got a call from somebody, said they're from the sheriff's office, said, you owe a fee, you missed jury duty. And so you owe a fine. Drive to the sheriff's office and pay it off. Well, that sounded legit. So while she was en route to the sheriff's office, they said, hold on a minute, there's been a mistake. Can you pull over and give us just a minute to figure this out? Red flag. But they had her so in an upheaval because they were playing on her emotions and giving perceptions of reality that were false. I'm telling you that that's what the devil does to each and every one of us if we let him. Get you all emotionally charged, and it feels as right as rain until it's all over and death has occurred. Now you're like, what in the world did we just do? Evil report. That's why the Bible called it evil, because its fruit was corruption. It costed a whole generation 40 years in the wilderness and ultimately death. And just a few were able to cross over. Their children got to cross over, but the parents stayed behind. I wonder why there's so many generational gaps. I wonder if some of it's because parents are not willing to sell out to God. Children want to do something for God. Parents are stubborn, hard-headed, deceitful, desperately wicked. Amen. Hypocrites. And maybe mom and dad, if you get right with God, maybe Junior could finally sell out for Jesus and make their life count for him. But you're a stumbling block with your hypocrisy. I don't guarantee anything. You know, you could do everything right and they still may go their own way. But you better not be the only one that's just standing in their way of Jesus. What does the Bible say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. See, God don't give you that confusion. He brings clarity. He brings peace of mind in troubled times. Even when the whole world is falling apart all around me, and even sometimes feels like it's falling apart inside of me, I have this hope as an anchor to my soul, both steadfast and sure. It is the promises of God's word. When I'm not feeling it, I'm trusting it. When I'm not seeing it, I'm trusting it. When I can't even quote it right, I'm trusting it. And I go back to it over and over again like an old artesian well. If I crank long enough and hard enough and pray, at some point some water's going to gush out and feed this thirsty soul, and God's going to make it all right again. John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. See, truth is the only thing that you need, and there's only one truth. It's the word of God. Don't let the devil talk you out of that blessing. Why did the Bible say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated? Esau did the opposite of what Moses did. He chose rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season than to suffer affliction with the people of God. All he wanted was a bowl of soup. Picture what I think I need to give this flesh. This flesh wants it. I'm going to die without it. So who cares about that birthright if I die? That quickly and that easily gave up on his spiritual birthright. And that's what abandoned him from the promises of God, his own choice. Because if he had trusted God, because it was more than just a physical carnal inheritance, it represented identity with the lineage and the God of their forefathers and all of that. He was walking away from a lot. And I can't understand the usage of the word hate, because God is love, right? Theologically, I can't explain that to you other than the fact that God's against those who reject his offer of inheritance in Christ. He's for them while there's hope. But there's coming a day that if you turn away and reject what he continually and faithfully, even to your very last breath most likely, continues to offer, and you say, I'd rather have my way than your way, then you're placing yourself as being abolished and abandoned from the covenants of God and of the promises of his family. And there's eternal consequences for that. Now, that's for the lost person that rejects Jesus. What does that look like for the saved? Well, He can take you to an early grave, number one. That's biblical. Number two, you'll lose your rewards. You won't have anything to cast at Jesus' feet through all of eternity while everybody else is casting crowns at his feet, giving him something in return for what he did for you your whole life. You'll have nothing to show for. And I don't even understand how that works emotionally, but there's got to be some kind of cost involved with it, or the scripture wouldn't mention it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just scrape into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I mean, the only way we're going to get there is through the blood, but I'm just using that as a cheap analogy. You get what I'm saying? I don't want to just show up, well, at least I made it. I want to be able to worship him. I want to give him my life before I get there. I want to be able to have some crowns to cast at his feet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ to get what he bought and paid for with his own blood. So the truth will bring clarity and eliminate all that confusion of fear. So let me recap in closing. This is the fear's progression. Weaken, number one. We've already dealt with this. Isolate, number two. And then confuse, number three. But God's answer is in our opening text. God's response is to strengthen, to love, and to reveal. Fixes it all. Takes one enemy out through that right there. Let's go back to Caleb in the Old Testament. Remember him? Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Why did Caleb do that? Where did he find the strength to say that? How did he have the faith to believe that? Well, the Bible says in Numbers 14:24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land." He had another spirit. He did not allow that spirit of fear to dominate his person. He had another spirit. Reckon what spirit that was. Spirit of God. You got it. Now, where the evil report stirred fear, isolation, and confusion, Caleb's spirit reminded the people of God that God's power was present when he said, "We are well able." That God's covenant love is present when he saw that the land was given to them as an inheritance. And he reminded them that God's truth and clarity were present, reminding them of his promises and that they were sure. And I love Romans 8:15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." God did not bring that back on you. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Oh, I love this analogy. I remember when I was a boy, the very first message I preached when I came here, I told this story, and I bring it to you again. We walked down through the woods in the wintertime when the pipes would freeze down in the old pump house, because we had an old spring and Daddy built a pump house over that water. It pumped up water up the hill to the house. We lived off spring water. Almost every winter, the pipes would freeze down there at that old pump house, probably a couple hundred yards down through a steep hill in the woods. And it's usually late at night after the sun went down and the temperatures dropped. Down Daddy would go through them woods, and sometimes he'd need a helper. Guess who gets the help? If Daddy got too far ahead of me going through them woods, I'd get scared. Fear. Every little twig that I'd step on, I would think it was somebody behind me encroaching upon me. That imagination of what's out there. So what I did, I'd rush to Dad. As long as I was beside him with that flashlight, I felt safe. Abba, Father, Daddy, I feel safe right here. See, I didn't have to know everything Daddy knew. I just had to be where Daddy was at. Because Daddy knew more than me, and he was big enough to handle whatever was coming at me. That's the childlike faith that God wants us to have and say, "Daddy, I'm afraid, I don't understand, but I come to you as best as I know how. I give you my trust and I ask you to walk me through this night. I ask you to be my security. I ask you to be my protection. I ask you to be my faith even when my faith is faltering. Help me, Daddy, I need you." So the light of Christ drives out the delusion of the enemy. When God's power, love, and truth flourish in us, fear and all of its lies has to flee.
Thanks for listening to Pastor Gary's message today on True North. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an edition. If you've enjoyed today's message, make a point to share these teachings with others. True North is a part of the ministry of Gary Caudill. Feel free to learn more at GaryCaudill.com. Is there something we could be praying for in your life right now? Let Pastor Gary know by sending an email to contact@GaryCaudill.com. That's contact@GaryCaudill.com. Would you do something for us too? Would you pray for the ministry of True North? We desire to present these messages with courage and to step out in faith and humility, allowing God to do the heavy lifting. Please pray that we'd stay connected to the vine who is Jesus Christ. Would you also pray for those who are listening to this broadcast? Pray that God would soften hearts and allow what's being heard to sink deep into each person's soul. Thanks so much for caring and for partnering with us in this way. Our time with you is up for today, but don't let that stop you from listening to more and more teachings by Pastor Gary. Join us again next time for another edition of True North.